Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Me away. G, 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 take me today.
Welcome to another episode of The Gary Hour. I'm your host, Gary Levitt. This week, I talk to young up-and-coming stand-up comedian Sabrina Piper. We talk about her mom, who's a stand-up comedian. We talk about growing up Jewish and what it's like to relocate to New York to pursue stand-up comedy. This episode is brought to you by Future Moments, makers of apps for content creation. If you're a filmmaker, songwriter, or podcaster, search for Future Moments on the App Store because they have a tool to make your life easier and your sounds better, like this podcast. All right, check me out online. I'm GaryGaryLevitt.com. If you Google GaryGaryLevitt, you'll probably get me in many forms of internet form. Hope you enjoy this episode. See you next week. Sabrina Piper.
Hi.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So you're kind of a very young new face on the scene, yeah?
I am, yeah. I've been doing stand-up for almost a year and a half.
I saw a picture of you. You were very young doing stand-up, like 7?
I was not 7. I think I was like 10 or 11.
Okay, so yeah, no sense of...
Yeah, no. Well, my mom was a comic, so I was always exposed to it. And then, yeah, no. I think that was at like a cousin's birthday party. I told a joke.
Okay. So wait, your mom was a stand-up comedian.
Mm-hmm.
How long... Was she like doing it professionally?
Yeah.
She was?
Yeah. She used to live in New York for years and years and years. She grew up around here. And then she did it in college.
Mm-hmm.
Until like a couple of years before I was born.
Why did she stop? Did you ruin her stand-up career?
Apparently.
She traded her career for... Maybe she passed it on to you.
I think so. I definitely got her humor, for sure.
You did?
Yeah, I feel like we totally get along even better now because it's like we speak the same language.
Yeah.
Like before, I was like, what the fuck is your problem with everything? Like always making it a joke or like trying and like... I'm like, she's just in one long bit. That's it.
Yeah. Well, it's a way of dealing with life.
Definitely.
Have you seen her stand up?
No, she won't let me watch it.
She has some on video?
Mm-hmm.
Why won't she let you watch?
I think, so she told me basically, and like a couple of her friends, that it was all about not wanting kids ever. And how she hates children. So then like I came around.
Well, she
it's like,
had you.
Joke's on you, bitch.
But maybe that could be like a reverse psychology kind of thing. Like when people are so anti-gay, they're actually gay.
Like Mike Pence, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Maybe she was so anti-child that she really, really, really wanted one.
Honestly, it could be. She like came out of, I guess, quote-unquote retirement a few months back, I think it was. It was 6 months. It was more than a few.
Stand-up retirement?
Yeah. She did a show at a theater down in Florida, and then that was the That was it. I don't know. She was like, I'm just going to do one and see if I like really still love it. And she did. And then she was like, but I'm not going to go back to it.
Did she warm up with an open mic or anything?
Mm-mm.
Oof, that's dangerous.
She said it was like good. And like there were like family friends there and they were like, it was so great, you know?
I feel like
I don't know if they're like bullshitting, but.
Well, she had a lot of supportive family there, maybe.
Only a couple.
I feel like stand-up is one of those things where if you don't do it for a while, you kind of lose the muscle.
Oh, for sure. I mean, you could go on vacation for like 2 weeks and come back and you're like, fuck, like what's the next joke I was going to do?
Yeah,
like,
you lose the real estate of the word and maybe a little stage fright. And,
yeah.
And then the audience senses that you're like a deer in the headlights and they get uncomfortable.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
That's why you can't do drugs before it either.
Only after, right?
Only after. Only after.
Did she, when you told your mom you wanted to start doing stand-up, did she tell you it was a bad idea?
No, she was so excited.
She was?
She was. Well, I've been an actress like all my life. She got me into that.
Mm-hmm.
You're
a child actress?
Child actress.
So your mom's kind of a stage
mom?
No
meth. No. You know, she wasn't like super pushy because if I didn't want to do it, that was fine. But yeah. I was so super into everything.
You wanted to.
I just wanted to do everything. I was like, I want to be on Disney Channel. And she was like, I don't want you molested. Like,
right. And to have like a normal childhood.
Yeah. I mean, in retrospect, I guess that was like, it was good. That like, you know, sometimes like I wasn't allowed to go to auditions and stuff like that. And she always warned me about like the casting couch. And I always thought it was just total bullshit, but it's not. I mean, we're really learning it now. It's not. But I'm also like, I could have been really famous by now, you fucking bitch. So
why do you say that? Because if she would have
just like exposed younger, you know, if I could have gone really into it. Because I was obsessed with like acting. That was my thing.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Aventura, which is like a very, very small...
Florida?
Yeah, it's in Florida. It's like 20 minutes from Miami. It's like 3 square miles of just Jews.
Yep.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Like half of them are from Israel and like half of them like migrated down from like New York and New Jersey. Like my mom, like just they're all down there.
We'll come back to your acting life. But so did you grow up Orthodox?
I did not grow up Orthodox. So my dad grew up pretty Orthodox. And then my mom grew up like conservative, you know, and then they didn't push that on me. Like they didn't raise me to be Orthodox. Mm-hmm. Religion was a thing in the house, of course. But I would definitely say I went more towards the spiritual side.
What do you mean the spiritual side?
Like I'm not sure if I believe in God. Mm-hmm. I know that there's like something, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like all my life, I was just like I didn't feel like Judaism like ruled everything I did. Like I dropped out of Hebrew school, like
Hebrew school dropout.
Hebrew school dropout. Yeah, I was just like I don't care. Like I don't think like you guys are following rules from millions of years ago.
That, traditions.
Traditions, and it's just to me, it just didn't click. Like I never resonated with it until I went to Israel,
mm-hmm.
and then like I got super Jewy, and I was like, oh my God, God is real. God doesn't want me to smoke weed. God doesn't want that. Like I went to the wall, and I was like, I just had a conversation with him. Like,
really? You felt a power mm-hmm. at the wall?
Oh, totally. I went to Israel. I was supposed to be there for 10 days. Wound up staying for 2 months.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. And I was just like, I started studying in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the long skirt and everything. I got super Jewy. And then I got back to New York after 2 months. And like, maybe 2 weeks later, I was like smoking a joint. I was like, you know what? Like... I don't think I had that conversation with him. Like, it's like you fall into this trance there.
Yeah.
And like, I felt like that was like my peak of like being religious.
Do you think if you went to the wall not knowing its whole reputation and the whole buildup of what the wall means and the significance, that if you just saw it as a wall, do you think it would have had that impact on you?
I'm not really sure. I mean, I didn't think it would before I was actually there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was just like, okay, like, it's a fucking, like, they're still separating men and women, which I hated when I was there, too. Like, I still am not okay with that.
Yeah.
But I just, there was, like, a different feeling when I landed in Israel and I was there. Like, mm-hmm. I got super outdoorsy, too. Like, I was, like, climbing up mountains and everything. I was like, yeah, let's go do it. Let's go for a run at 5 in the morning. Like, that so isn't me, but I, like, something like took over when I was there.
Is your family heritage from Israel?
Some of them, but mainly they're from like Russia, Poland, Austria. Like, we escaped the Nazis.
You did. Mm. Good job.
Thank you. Thank you. And we're totally allowed out now, so it's great.
Women allowed out.
Oh, sometimes.
So they keep the women and men separate?
They do,
yeah. In Israel? Or just at the wall?
No, no, definitely at the wall. Jerusalem, like the old city, is a different world. I mean, they're living in a different century. I love Israel. Like, if I could go back tomorrow, I would, honestly, for like a little bit. Like, but I mean, I had women screaming at me that I wasn't covered up enough. Now, mind you, it was like middle of summer. I was wearing like a turtleneck long sleeve, like past my knee, like black dress.
Jews and Muslims screaming at you?
No. Just Jews.
Okay.
Just Jews.
Because there are Muslims in Israel, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, especially in Jerusalem, it's like the four quarters, right? So you have like the Jews and like the Muslims and the Christians and like, I don't know who's in the fourth quarter.
Scientologists?
Oh my God, they're my favorite to make fun of. I wish I just saw one.
Yeah, something other?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to switch it up. But no, the Jewish women, they were yelling at me. It was like a mix of like Hebrew and English, just like how disrespectful I was for not going like and like covering my ankles and stuff like that.
Right. The women are yelling this.
The women are crazy. The men, if they're, especially if they're like Shomer Nagia, like they can't touch you, you know, they can't hug you.
What was that word?
Shomer Nagia.
What is that?
It's like, so... Okay, let's say that a couple's married, right?
Yep.
Religious couple, Orthodox. If the woman even has her period, he can't even, like, touch her for that entire, like, the 10 days because she's not clean.
Right.
It's like a set of rules, like a different set of rules, though.
Right.
Or, like, you can't even, if you were Shomer Nagia, you couldn't hug me. You couldn't high-five me. There's no touching. Some of them don't even look at women in the eye.
Wow.
Especially if they're not married.
Well, that's why I had to find out where you were on your menstrual cycle before we did this podcast.
Yeah, I mean, you're kind of fucked right now because you're in my vicinity. I'm just like...
Does that make me a sinner?
Maybe. Do you have sex with or without a sheet between you?
Definitely without a sheet between.
Oh, you're a total sinner, dude.
Wait, do you know the history where that comes from?
Delusion? I don't know. Honestly, no, I really don't know.
The whole period thing, because it's not just Jews, it's, you know,
no,
Rastafarian,
I mean, it's, yeah,
Muslims.
I don't know where it derived from, and I don't want to sound stupid and try to like give you an answer right now. But
good for you. Most people be like, I know everything.
Well, I don't, but but I try.
Mm-hmm.
I try.
So your mom was raising you, not Orthodox, but very Jewish.
I mean, my parents raised me Jewish, but mm-hmm. like. Let's say if I broke Passover and they found, if they were like, did you just eat pizza? And it was like, you know, Passover.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah. Like, they wouldn't punish me. They wouldn't be like, God wants you dead. Like, they'd be like, all right, just like, don't do that again. Like, they were never tough about it.
Was
like,
it about fear of God or not breaking tradition?
For them, you think?
For them, yeah.
I definitely don't think it was fear of God. I think that my dad more, it was like, you have to be respectful towards God. Like, I know that there were a couple of times I said, I was like, I don't think God's real. And Ooh. He's like, God's real. Like, there was no, like, I think, questioning that.
Right. So your mom was a stand-up comedian that was conservative. Jewish.
I mean, no, she grew up that way, but mm-hmm. then she wasn't.
She stopped being conservative.
Yeah,
Jewish.
She was just kind of Jewish. You know those people where they're like, oh, I'm Jewish, but I'm not. They're Jewish.
Yeah, like kind of reformed.
Yeah.
Well, Jews love, speaking generally, love tradition. Just the traditions of doing things. And a lot of Jews don't even know the meaning behind them.
Right.
That I find pretty common.
I feel like that was me for a couple of things. Mm-hmm. Like when I was younger, like, what is it called? Like Sukkot, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, oh, what's this? Like, all I knew is like when they would like build the little, I don't even know what it is now, I'm gonna be honest. Like, yeah. I never got interested in learning either.
Right.
But they build something.
Well, even when you do the Hanukkah prayers, mm-hmm. it's all about God.
Yeah.
So how do you work that out in your mind if you don't even believe in God?
Well, to me, like, I loved Hanukkah growing up.
For the presents?
I mean, yeah.
But no, it's,
for
it's
sure.
Nice.
But like, I, to me, like, you know, just saying the prayers and everything was just part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like maybe when I was younger, it was like, do this, and then like, I'm going to go get like my Easy Bake Oven.
Do you think there is something inherent about the Jewish religion or tradition that has to do with comedy? Because there seems to be like a lot of Jewish people kind of tend to be funny.
Yeah.
Or have a sense of humor about
things. I mean, we're made fun of so much growing up. Like, I can't even tell you. I guess because I grew up in such like a heavily Jewish community, I didn't hear it as much. But my first like dealing with somebody being like anti-Semitic towards me, I was in the third grade.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a kid that I knew forever. And his name is Christian, which is ironic as fuck. Mm-hmm. And he called me a dirty Jew.
Mm-hmm.
And it was crazy. It was in private school. So we, like, I got into it with him because my parents always said, like, especially my dad, it was like, defend it. Like, you're Jewish. Like, you defend that. Like, if anyone ever says anything, like, you beat the shit out of them, basically. Like, I'm the only girl. Like, I was like, yeah. So I start fighting with this kid. And then my mom came in and, like, got into a fight with his mom. And it was just crazy.
Did he even know what he meant, calling you a dirty Jew?
No, I think you learned that in the home.
Right.
You know, for sure. I mean, this kid was what, like 8 years old?
Right.
And like, I knew him since I was three.
Yeah.
And he just randomly called me that one day, I think, because like I took like his abacus or whatever the fuck we were learning. And I was like, yeah.
What kind of private school is this?
Oh my God, it was a Montessori.
Oh, Montessori school?
I got kicked out. I got kicked out from that incident because I was like, yeah, I was going back and forth with the kid. And then they were like slowly, the people who owned it, they weren't Jewish, and they were like slowly like weaving out all the Jews, it turned out. They got shut down for it. There was a whole investigation after. Yeah. So they kicked me out after I was getting called a dirty Jew, and I was like, oh, okay.
Interesting. I went to a Montessori school for a year as well as a kid.
And how was that?
All I remember doing is running around and jumping up on the teacher's desk and jumping off. Like, we all formed a circle. I don't think we learned anything.
Oh my God, I learned so much. I will give them that.
I would imagine every school is really different.
Yeah.
The one I went to, there seemed to be no curriculum.
Oh. Well, for us, I mean, I was learning cursive at like 2 or 3 years old.
Oh, well, that's good to know.
So, yeah. And then they put me in public school for like 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Shocker.
Shocker in a way where you felt like it was dumbed down or...
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, like, I was in the... They advanced me to the gifted classes right away. And then they were going to have me, like, skip a grade.
Wow.
But I didn't want to do that. So I just stayed. Which is so funny because then I grew up and I'm the fucking worst at, like, math and stuff like that. And I was just like, I don't give a shit anymore. Mm. But like, there weren't that many Jewish kids there.
Mm-hmm. In public school?
So that was, yeah. So that was, like, a huge, like, shocker for me.
Right.
It was just diverse, and I wasn't used to that, you know?
Yeah.
Which wasn't bad. Like, I wasn't, like, scared or anything. Like, I was just like, oh, whatever. And then 6 months later, I'm back at a private school.
Mm-hmm. So your parents kind of tried to instill this religion on you, or they were kind of just introducing you and then letting you come to your own?
I think that it was always spoken about. I don't think that it was ever a choice. But I also, I think they instilled it so much that I could never think of in a different way, like, oh, I'm not Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it was always like, oh, if you ever have a boyfriend, like, he has to be Jewish.
Do they still feel that way?
He has to be Jewish. Well, my dad passed away a few years ago. Oh. So I don't think he feels that way, but I don't think he feels much anymore anyway. But my mom, I don't really think she cares.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was more my dad, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah,
my grandmother used to be like that. She'd be like, you have to marry a Jew.
You have to marry a Jew.
And then eventually, as time went on and she got older, she was like, you know, you're lucky enough to meet someone and fall in love.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what they are or what they believe in.
See, that's nice.
Yeah.
My grandmother's a cunt, so I don't think that would happen.
She's not evolving at all?
No.
Not a bit. Is that your mom's mom?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
But my mom, I don't really think she cares because, like, I'll say, like, I'm going out. She goes, I don't care. That's how she always prefaces. I don't care.
In a funny
but,
way?
No, she says just like that. I don't care, but is he Jewish? And I'm like, no. She's like, okay, well, that's fine. I think in her mind, it's like she's not going to marry him because, like, I'll go out on dates all the time.
Yeah.
But I do think I'm going to wind up with a Jewish person just because, like, I can't see myself with anyone else.
Why do you say that? Because it's such a big part of you?
I guess just seeing like my... No, I guess just like seeing my parents, you know, and mm-hmm. also being raised Jewish. And like, I don't think I'm ever going to have kids. That's just like a personal thing. Mm-hmm. But if I ever did in the future, like I'd like to raise them Jewish. Mm-hmm. And I also... Like, I don't want to drop my traditions that I do.
Right. So
like
now...
Since I got back from Israel, like, you know, sometimes I do keep Shabbat or, like, I'll light the candles. And I don't want to kill that in the future.
So even though you don't really... Are you sure you don't believe in God?
I don't think it's God that I believe in. Like, I don't believe there's a man in the sky who's dictating everything. Mm-hmm. I think everyone has their own journey.
Yep.
And everyone has, like... possibly like a past life or so, like there's something, there's so much more to life than what's on the surface, but I don't think there's a dude up in the sky directing everything.
But you think
how they see God,
right? Like controlling everything, like the
right
strings.
right it's like God will give you the strength. It's like, dude, like sometimes he won't. And what if it's not guy?
Well, do you think there's something bigger than us as individuals?
Oh, definitely. I mean, like the universe, there has to be more of the universe than just what we see.
Have you had any instances where you felt that?
I'm going to preface this right now before I keep talking with, I don't do drugs.
You don't?
I don't do drugs.
Okay.
Okay. But like my friends who do drugs.
Because
like
you said DMT you talk about smoking pot and stuff.
Pots, whatever.
Okay.
Pots, whatever.
Yeah.
I've never tried anything else besides weed. Okay. But my friends who do like DMT everything, they like come out of it and they're like, you got to do this. And I'm like, no. Why? Like, and they're like, God is real. And it's a girl. Like, four of them told me this.
Uh-huh. Were they all girls that told you that?
No, all guys.
Oh, wow.
All guys. And they were, like, the biggest misogynistic pieces of shit before. I love them, but, like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean...
Which is crazy.
It does kind of make more sense. Since
women
give birth and...
A little bit. Yeah. Mother Nature.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I also believe, like, there's also, like, I guess the cynical part of me where it's, like, if there was a God, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hello, the Holocaust wouldn't have happened. Like,
right, it'd be a sick, sick person,
yeah,
sick entity.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just little cases, just like little things
that make you not believe.
Yeah, like I know there definitely has to be more, right? There has to be a higher power somewhere.
Yeah,
but I don't know if that's a God.
Have you had any instances of that besides your friends doing DMT?
I mean, besides being at the Western Wall, like I'm telling, when I was there,
yeah,
like I probably stood there. I thought it was for 5 minutes. I stood there for like an hour or something.
Just like hand on the wall.
Hand on the wall. I put a prayer in, hand on the wall. I like started crying and everything. And I had a whole conversation in my head with God.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, and maybe whatever. Let's say I did.
Yeah.
But I came out of it and I was just like, I felt lighter. And I was like, oh, I need to do this. I need to stop doing this. I need to do this. I need to stop doing this.
This conversation, was it like a conversation with somebody else?
Yeah. Like I felt like somebody was telling me something and then I was answering and then they were answering me back.
Uh-huh. And this other person or thing, was it kind of wiser than you? Guiding you?
I think so. But at the same time, like I didn't listen to the advice. Like I was at the wall and like one of the things I was talking about a bunch of different things like in my head. I was just thinking.
Yeah.
And one of them, like the voice came to me and they were like, you should only smoke weed like 8 to 10 more times in your entire life. And then you need to stop. And I was like, that's it.
Had you been struggling with this weed smoking before that?
No, I mean, like I'm not an addict or anything.
Yeah.
Like I tried it for the first time in high school, like senior year,
mm-hmm.
or the end of junior year or something, because my dad passed away,
mm-hmm.
and I was super depressed. And then like 3 days after my dad passed away, my grandfather passed away.
Wow.
So I was like super, super depressed. And I've struggled with depression since I was probably like 11 or 12.
So you're equating the weed smoking with depression?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Like I didn't want to touch it. I thought it was disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
And then like my friends were like, just try, like you're so, like I wouldn't take any pills, I wouldn't do anything.
Well, once you're equating the weed smoking to depression, then you're kind of saying, of course I want to get rid of it,
like
I want to get rid of depression.
Yeah, maybe I never saw it in that light.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I used it more towards medicine. And now, as I'm older, like, I stopped smoking a few years ago for, like, a couple years. And now, since I started comedy again, like, I'm around it. And it's like, I just do it, like, it'll be for fun.
Yeah. Does it help you write jokes?
No. Oh, my God, I'm the worst. Like, sometimes I'll think of something, and I'm like, oh, my God, that's so funny.
Right.
I'll write it down, or I'll record it, and then the next day, I'll read it, and I'm like, that's awful. Like,
right, right.
Well, and I can't perform high either. I mean, it's just, like, late at night.
Yeah, well, that, you know, how it enhances everything, being on stage, I would imagine, would be a nightmare.
Awful. It happened to me twice that I got up high. Like, one time I was just, like, burnt down. The other time, like, I didn't know I was getting up, and I got up, and I was just blasted.
Right. Well, I asked about the depression and the weed relationship, because everyone has their own kind of relationship with even alcohol. Mm-hmm. You know, if alcohol to you is an escape mechanism, and you're like, oh, things are tough, I need a drink, then your relationship with alcohol is on a negative thing. But if you're like, oh, I'm going out, yeah, I'm going to be social, I'm going to have a drink and loosen up, enjoy myself, then your relationship with it is kind of fun.
Yeah.
And upbeat. So that's why I asked about the weed.
Well, like, I think that definitely ties in. I've never seen it from that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But that is, like, what I've always used it for.
To escape?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Right. Because that's, once you're using something to escape, it's not good.
Yeah. That's why, like, I took a month off smoking, like, last month or something. And then my friend came into town from Birthright.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, we got to smoke. Like, oh my God. So it was his last night. So we got weed. And I was like, oh my God, this is so fun. Like, I forgot how fun this is.
Right.
And then for that entire week, I got really high. And I was like, this isn't fun. Like, life isn't fun. Like, it does bring you down.
Well, it's
unless
a downer,
you're so, yeah, unless you're depressed, and then it'll bring you up. And I'm like, I need to not touch that. Like, I have to get it into my mind. Yeah. But
are you one of those people that can't moderate?
No, I mean, I can if I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's, like, around me and yeah. I'm not doing anything, I'm like, why not?
Right. Because some people, it makes them really lazy.
Well, I get, like, I don't know if it's antisocial or just extremely introverted.
Yeah, that's like, a common thing.
When I'm around people, like, they'll know.
Yeah.
They'll know if I'm like, if I get too high, because I'm just sitting there and I'm within myself.
Right. You're kind of withdrawn. Mm-hmm. But then there's people like Richard Branson, you know, that.
Yeah,
is,
yeah, of course.
But he said he smoked a joint a day at least since he was 16.
Look at Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God, fantastic.
Yeah.
But
it's different for everybody.
It really does hit people differently. And I wish I could be one of those people where, like, I'm so social on it, where I'm like, yeah, how you doing?
Yeah.
Like, what are you guys doing tonight? Well, should we go do a set? But I'm right. Like, I should go get a kale salad. Like, and that's what I go do.
Well, I think that's what Snoop Dogg is talking about when he's like, you got to master your high. Mastering your high, I think, to Snoop Dogg, I think, is like not getting withdrawn and just being able to deal.
Yeah.
He's so smooth.
You know? He's so good with it. I'm so jealous. I wish I could smoke with him.
Yeah,
him and
someday.
Seth Rogen.
Mm-hmm. You'd better build up your tolerance.
I'll do it.
I asked about the Jewish thing in relation to comedy before, because
oh yeah,
a lot of Jews and even rabbis, it's like so built into the Jewish culture to make jokes. Like, there's often rabbis that are cracking jokes, and it's a certain brand of humor.
Oh, for sure. Well, I think that we were oppressed for so long
mm-hmm.
that we had to find something to kind of laugh about.
So that would assume that comedy is kind of built into your DNA.
I think so.
That's crazy.
I mean, Jewish people, let's be blunt, like, they kind of, like, run the entertainment industry for the most part. Okay. And, like, I mean, everyone knows it. We take over a big chunk of it.
There's a lot of Jews, yeah.
Big chunk. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And especially comedians. That's why, like, I never understand when there's anti-Semitic comedians, because I'm like, wrong industry, bud. Like, so sorry. And I think that, you know, we all were, like, shit on at some point, and we had to come up with some retort, like, very instantly. And, like, even, like, you know, when people say, like, oh, big nose, like, whatever, and then you would mm-hmm. come up with something else, like, about, like, their height or whatever.
Right.
So it might be a little bit built in.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the rabbis do make jokes, and you know.
Yeah, and the Jews have a very, even before World War II, a long history of oppression.
Oh, yeah.
And do you feel like, so that would assume that comedy is a way of dealing with harsh realities.
Oh, I think so for sure. And I mean, something happens to you, you want to write about it, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, there's so many different ways to go when you have hardships in life. You can start boozing it up, you can start using drugs, or right. you can start and you know playing music, or you can start writing comedy and figuring it out that way.
Yeah, but I meant for you personally, when something happens.
Me personally?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm lucky that I have artistic outlets.
Right.
You know, I really do consider
that. Which is fantastic.
That. So lucky that I yeah. have outlets. And I've noticed this in myself that if I'm feeling down or melancholy or depressed or something, first thing I'll do is be like, all right, why am I depressed? Did anything change in my life that made me depressed since, because I was just happy a couple days ago? Has anything changed? Right. No, nothing's changed. Pretty much things are the same. So I'm like, maybe I just need to get on stage and do comedy. Maybe I need to pick up the guitar and just play and sing. These kinds of outlets. And then all of a sudden I'll do something like that or write.
Yeah.
Then you get it out of you.
And it's it's like cathartic when you write it all down,
mm-hmm.
Which is great. But yeah, some people don't have that, which is really sad.
Yeah. Do you think everyone does have it, but they just haven't found the key to open it?
No, because have you seen some people do stand-up? So,
well,
but everyone should find some type of release.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't agree with, like, going towards, like, alcohol or, like, hard drugs. Like, I can't say anything about weed because, like, when I'm depressed, I do go and buy weed.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, when it comes to, like, the Jewish people in general, like, rabbis, they're not going down, like, smoking a J. They're not going to grab a beer with you.
Right.
I mean, like, my rabbis are cool as fuck, so they do. But, like, they're not doing that normally.
How many rabbis do you have?
I have two.
What do these rabbis do?
Sorry. They're rabbis.
But why do you have two? You do...
From birthright.
Okay. Birthright is when...
Basically, you go to Israel for free.
Yeah.
They put you into this total fucking trance.
Yeah, they're really laid on thick and brainwashed.
Oh, yeah.
You, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're not sleeping for almost 10 days. You're getting 3 hours a night, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You're constantly doing activities. And then they're, like, putting all these, like, facts and stories into you. And then they want you to, like, couple up and then, like, get married, have a baby, move to Israel, have the baby join the army in 18 years. Like, it's a total thing.
So, sounds like a racket.
No, I mean, listen, birthright was the best experience of my life.
Right.
But I do know what they're doing. Like, it's a little bit of brainwashing.
Yeah. Is it a lot of desert there? Or were you in areas that were pretty built up?
So we went around all of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
We were in the desert for one night, though.
Okay.
We stayed in, like, a Bedouin tent, which is like one big Jew fuck fest, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just outrageous.
It's like Burning Man for Jews.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I asked because I've spent some time in the desert, and just being in the desert has a weird psychological effect.
It's so different.
It's so different.
So different. I mean, you hear everything. You're looking up, and like you see all the stars, and it's gorgeous.
And there's nothing around to echo any sound.
Right.
So like when I was in the desert, there was a drum set, and I was hitting the snare drum, and it would just disappear.
It would, yeah, like,
barely make a sound. It's very strange to just look out, be able to see for miles, maybe, and there's nothingness.
And everything's just going.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say this, the night we were in the desert, my friend and I, we planned to wake up the next morning at 6 a.m. to go for a run on the hill.
Uh-huh.
We both slept in, missed the alarm, thank God. Found out that there were, what was it? Oh, mines. Landmines. Like,
really?
In the, yeah.
See, that's why I don't
to,
like...
To, like, keep out the other side. Yeah. And I was like, oh, well, good thing we didn't go.
Yeah.
But, yeah, very peaceful. Very...
Were the guides funny on Birthright? Were they humorous?
They were really fucking cool. Like, we mm-hmm. had two rabbis. So, the thing with my trip is... I had signed up, like, you have to put in three different trips, and then they pick one for you.
Mm-hmm.
So two of mine were for New York, and then the third was for Miami, just in case. They pick that one.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm put onto that one with, like, a couple people that I went to middle school with in high school. Like, fucking nuts, of course. And then half my group drops. And then there was a Canadian group going and half that group dropped. So they combine our trips. So we got two rabbis and two guides.
Uh-huh. And you keep in touch with these rabbis?
Yeah.
What do you talk to them about?
Well, one of them I speak to like very like, not that often, you know, like he just had another baby and everything, but it's just, but the other one, I'm very close with him and he's like, he always wants me to go back to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
He's always like pushing that a lot. I love him, but yeah, he loves me to go back to Israel. He thinks that I need to like, you know, have a talk with him about God and like coming back to like
Did you tell him you're not a believer?
Yeah. I did tell him, I was like, you know, and then when I was there, I was like, no, like God is real. And then yeah. I got back to New York and I was like, no. And like,
I was hallucinating.
I was like, no, wait.
Do you seek guidance from him? Is he kind of a...
Definitely. Like if I'm in like a rough patch in my life, like I'll talk to him or right. like if I'm going through something like terrible with like an ex-boyfriend or something like that at the time, like I would talk to him because I went on Birthright May 2016. Mm-hmm. So it's going on 2 years now.
Right.
But I do keep in touch with him. He always invites me to Shabbat.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really fucking cool.
Well, it's good to have someone older that you can kind of trust that would give you advice.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Whether you follow it or not.
I mean, yeah, no. He was like, he was great on the trip and like afterwards too. So,
yeah.
It's good.
Does your mom give you advice?
She always gives me advice, whether I want it or not. It's a Jewish mom, you know?
Right.
She's going to tell you her opinion regardless.
Yeah. So why do you think she won't let you see her stand up? Is it just because she has a lot of material on not wanting kids? Or do you think there's something else?
Maybe, or maybe she just doesn't want me involved in like that part of her life. Like maybe that was hers, you know? Mm-hmm. And she's like, okay, that's mine. Like, you know, like even when I was like, oh, tape, when she did the show 6 months ago, I was like, tape it, send it to me. She was like, oh, sure.
Yeah. So she still...
And she like didn't, but I saw pictures like... from like mutual friends and everything, and I was like, oh, like you didn't send me anything. She's like, oh, it's fine.
Yeah,
like I don't think she wants me involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this comedy thing with Jews, there is a similar style of humor. Do you think that you have a similar style of humor as your mom?
A little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she definitely passed it on to me. I mean, she took me to my first comedy show when I was, I think, 9 years old. It was Kathy Griffin.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I, like, begged her to go for, like, a year, I remember.
Yeah.
She was like, you're too young. And then, like, 9 came around. She was like, okay.
And Kathy Griffin's pretty raw.
Oh, she's totally out there. And, like, I remember, I'll never forget this. I mean, now it's over 10 years ago. And she came out on stage and she goes, she, like, says one joke and then the next thing. And she was like, and I'm so happy you're all here. Like, she's like, where are my gays? And they're like, yay. And then she was like, and where are my kids? And I'm the only one who yelled. And she didn't hear, of course.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, thank God. I fucking hate children. And I was like, ha, 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 yeah, they're the worst. Like,
so it was an all-ages show?
So I don't think so. But my mom, it wasn't my mom. It was my dad. He did like a lot of like blackjack playing and poker playing, and it was at the Seminole like Hard Rock.
Okay.
So she was performing there, so he got us tickets.
Right.
They like gave him tickets and then we went. So I don't know if I was allowed.
Yeah. But, well, it's always interesting. I've done shows where there's kids in the audience and it definitely makes me think twice about everything.
Oh, it's I did a kids show.
You
they
did.
Didn't like me.
What?
They weren't fans of me.
Well, it's such a different thing.
Well, yeah, I realized also as I was like halfway through the set, and I'm mm-hmm. like, these little fucks, like they can't stand me. And I was like, oh my God, this set is totally geared towards their parents.
Right.
That's the problem.
Right. Well, it's hard to appeal to such a wide generation.
Like, I didn't know what to say to a 4-year-old. Like, the girl in the front, she was 5, and I was like, what's your favorite thing to do? And she's like, I love my Zumba class. And I was like, no.
Well, what are you gonna do, talk about dating and stuff?
Yeah, I can't. Like, I try to tell them because I was a camp counselor for like 6 years, so I try to talk mm-hmm. to them about that. And like I made a joke about like going on a water slide that I didn't want to go on, but the kid pressured me, and how kid pressure is worse than like peer pressure.
Right.
I was like, you guys will learn that when you learn about puberty. And the parents like all shot me a look, and I was like, whatever. And then I was talking about going on this water slide, and I was like, oh, I had so much fun. But then I remembered, like, I was so pissed at my camper for making me go on, so I kicked him off and he fell off the entire ride. And like this one girl like looked up, she goes, what?
Mm-hmm.
Like with terror in her eyes. And I'm like, no, strapped in. I'm kidding. Like, I lost them.
Yeah, well,
but I never got them in the first place, so.
Maybe it's okay to not appeal to everybody.
Like, I'll never be a kid's comedian. And unfortunately, none of them booked me for being a babysitter afterwards. I did leave my car. I was like, you guys, I do babysit. And they're like, okay.
Could have at least gotten some babysitting gigs out of it.
Just one. Yeah. Just, I'm such a good one, too. I'm
instead,
so
the parents
fun.
Are like, I don't want you to babysit my kids, but you want to hang out?
I'm sure they would have loved to if they just gave me a shot.
Yeah. So you're also involved in acting as well.
Yeah.
As stand-up.
Yes.
Which one appeals to you more?
It's really tough because I've loved acting all my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'll never find anything I like more. Like, I'll never find it. And then I did stand-up for the first time ever, and I was like, okay, I love this. Like, and I think it's equal.
Yeah. Can you tell me about your first time doing stand-up? How'd you do it? Did you bomb?
Or oh, my God. Okay, so my first time doing stand-up was interesting because I was walking on McDougal. Mm-hmm. And now, mind you, I never did a mic before this. I never did anything. But I was writing. I was always writing jokes because, yeah, I was like, I want to try this one day. Like, I started when I was 18, I remember.
Yeah.
And I just had bad ones. Bad. Like, I recently looked over them. I was like, oh my God, this is awful. But I remember, like, I wrote two really funny jokes where I was just like, you know, the first time you write your first joke, like your real first joke.
Yeah.
You're like, this is good. There's something. So I remember I wrote that. And then I was walking on McDougal. And some guy tries to bark me into a show. He's like, hey, comedy show tonight? And I was, yeah, like, no thanks. And don't know why I did this, but I go, I'm a comedian. And I just, and he goes, oh, yeah? And he goes, wait, I'll book you on my show.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just like that.
Just like that. And I was like, okay. So, uh-huh, he's like, you have Facebook? He adds me on Facebook. And then he messages me that night. He's like, I'll get you on a show in 2 weeks. Gives me the date, and I was like, oh, okay. And it was a bringer.
Yeah, oh,
of course.
Bringer, mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. Which a bringer, if you don't know, a bringer is when you're booked for a show, but you have to bring a certain amount of people or you don't perform.
Right. So at first he said 6, and I said, there's no way that's going to happen, whatever. And he was like, oh, okay, just whatever you can do. And I was like, wow, this guy has a lot of like faith in me. So two of my friends came. It's 2 weeks later. I was petrified. Like, I was like, I drank some wine before, and I was still freaking out, right? But I didn't want to tell anyone at first, like, this is my first time.
Right.
Until it was right before it was time to go up, right? Yeah. And then I was like, I'm so nervous. This is my first show. And they were like, oh, it's fine. And they were like, you're going to do great, just like at the mic. So I was like, I've never done one of those. And they were like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
And I got up on stage, and I had 7 minutes to do.
Whoa, which is, yeah, a lot of time.
It's a lot of time. It's, yeah, a lot of... And at first, like, when I heard that, I was like, 7 minutes? Like, I can go on for longer. Which is so... You really don't know as, like, a young comedian or somebody who's not a comedian. Like, that is a good chunk of time. So,
yeah.
I go up, and my first 3 minutes were not that awful. I, mm-hmm, will say that. Like, it wasn't where you're like, oh my God, what is this? But I also ran the jokes like by my mom like a million times, you know?
But that's then saying them out loud is so helpful.
Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, I also have that, I guess, like from acting. Like, I would always, like, you know, go over my scripts and stuff, mm-hmm, like that. So then I started doing that with the jokes. And then my other 4 minutes, very sad.
Just
bomb, just... I mean, you could hear a pin drop in the back of the room. There were a couple pity laughs.
Yeah. Were you doing material, or were you just kind of improvising?
I was doing what I thought was material, so it was just not good.
It was just like,
There was a lot of premises. There was also a lot that I thought was funny. Like, I talked about, like, my dead goldfish, and I thought it was, like, fucking hilarious.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't.
Yeah.
At all.
The crowd let you know that.
Yeah, for the most part. Like, my friends, I knew when I heard, like, and it was just them, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
But I felt like I really, and I only know this because, like, I looked over the video.
Ooh, you taped yourself the first time?
Oh, and I put it on YouTube.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But I only put the first 3 minutes because even then I was like, this is the better one.
Right.
And I was like, look what I'm doing, everyone. Like, I just felt so, like, I don't know, because I guess, like, I was a quiet kid,
mm-hmm,
for the most part. just because, like, I was bullied a lot, like, in middle school, so I didn't talk.
You were bullied for being a Jew?
No. They were all Jews. Uh-huh. It was like, you know, but I was just bullied because kids are fucking cunts. They're just so nasty. I don't even know. And you know, in retrospect, like, I don't even know why I was bullied. Like, I always think that. I'm like, I guess because I was an easy target for them.
Interesting.
Because I was, like, kind, and I was kind of meek, and then they were like, we can just pick on her for everything.
Well, yeah, I think everybody should read Lord of the Flies.
Oh, my God.
Gives you a good example of human nature.
Yeah.
Preying on the weak.
Oh, for sure. I mean,
or the nice. Or the kind.
And, like, I look them all up now, and they're all, like, fucking losers, which is amazing.
That is my favorite part of Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
No need to go to any high school reunion. I just...
Oh, my favorite is when they message me, and they're like, your stand-up is so funny. And I'm like, thank you. You inspired me, because I would go home and make fun of you. Like, right. That's how I learned to do, like, and make jokes.
Yeah, you thank them for it now.
Yeah, but no, I put my first set up on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. So it
now
sounds
deleted.
You did? That's good.
Oh, for sure.
Like, or at least make it, hide it.
Oh, no, deleted. Oh, that's gone.
Do you think, because you had some acting background before helped. You do, yeah, do you think it helped?
Oh, it totally helped. I mean, I had no stage fright mm-hmm. after that first time. Like, I wasn't even afraid to get up and talk to people, because I've always been, like, even, like, I would always do speeches and stuff like that, like, or I was singing when I was younger. So I was never afraid, so to speak, but I was nervous that I wouldn't get laughs.
Right.
And so I totally went into this, not even from drinking or anything, because I only had a glass of wine. I just went into, like, a blackout up there. But I remember when I heard my first laugh.
Yeah.
Like, and it was, like, a genuine, like, laugh from somebody in the back that, like, I didn't know was my friends. And I was like, okay, I want to keep doing this.
Right. You were in a blackout, but you were talking.
Like, I know, yeah. Like, I kept going, but it was just like, I don't remember, like, looking at the audience, really. Like, I just remember, like, after the first, like, 30 seconds.
Yeah. That sounds exactly like my first time.
I was just so nervous. Mm-hmm.
I felt like I was in, like, a timeless vortex of a cave, mm-hmm. even though I knew I was talking. And then right when the first laugh came, it was like, oh, okay, cool. Okay, good. And
I can do this.
Yeah.
I can do this.
I brought me back to where I was. Mm-hmm. It's so scary.
It's so scary. And, like, I don't think we admit it as much as, you know, we should, just because people are always like, what do you do? And it's like, I'm a stand-up comedian. And they're like, oh, my God, that's amazing. Like, that's so scary. I could never do that. I'm like, mm-hmm. well, it's not that scary. But I guess because, like, we're used to it. But we really are. We're getting up there and we're talking about outrageous things for the most part.
Yeah.
We're, like, trying to convince these people that, like, what we're saying is just right.
Right. Well, and that's, there's a lot of different things you could do that kind of aid in stand-up comedy. Like, salesmen tend to be good at stand-up comedy.
Right.
You're selling a point or point of view or mm-hmm. a premise. And I could see how the acting could help in stand-up comedy, because you're confident, and that's such a big part of it. Like, yeah. Even if you are insecure, but portraying, like, showing yeah. that
oh,
you're
totally.
Confident.
Totally. I mean, the audience knows right away. Also, like, I can do all the faces and everything that I know go along with the jokes.
Right.
So, like, I, you know, it definitely ties in, I think.
And you're acting as if you're just speaking off the cuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like, when I was growing up, and, like, especially, like, in high school and everything, or, like, even, like, in college, if I was stressed out, like, I would only listen to stand-up. If I was driving in the car, I would listen to, like, Comedy Central and, like, Sirius, you know, stuff like that. And, like, I would hear these jokes a million times, and yeah. I would still know them, like, word for word, and find them hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Who are some of your biggest influences?
I would definitely say Sarah Silverman.
Yeah.
Love her.
Mm-hmm.
I might get shit for this, but I love Amy Schumer.
Mm-hmm. Why would you get shit?
A lot of people don't like her, and I will say this. I feel like in the past, like, couple years, her comedy's definitely changed a mm-hmm. little bit, where, like her last special, I wasn't a fan of personally.
The leather one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of comedians, like, were not fans of that, or just, like, people in general, too.
Yeah.
But before that, like, I loved watching her. I yeah. just felt like it was a kind of, like, an escape. Like, I would watch her and, like, Sarah Silverman. I loved Joan Rivers so much.
So great.
So much. Dave Attell. I mean, there are so many, like, amazing comedians. I guess when I was, like, younger, I loved Kathy Griffin, too.
Right.
But I think it's because my mom loved her so much, and then I would watch her, and I was like, this is funny.
When you saw Joan Rivers after you saw, did you see a similarity? With Joan Rivers and Kathy Griffin.
And Kathy Griffin.
Like, because it's neat.
I think they...
Like, there might not be a Kathy Griffin without Joan Rivers. Like, it's fun for me to just see the how things progress.
The progression. Yeah. Well, I think there are a couple of comedians like that, mm-hmm. where they kind of, like, they're influenced by somebody so much mm-hmm. that they kind of start turning, or they try to turn into them sometimes, or sometimes it's not even, like, without trying, they do it.
Yeah.
Like, I know when I first started stand-up, people were like, oh, you're such, like, an Amy Schumer. And I was like, I don't want to be an Amy Schumer. Like, and I think it's because when you watch somebody so much, like, yeah. I'm sure Kathy Griffin watched, like, Joan Rivers so much that it influences you and you don't even realize it.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah,
even
some
the
people,
way you speak and stuff like that.
Totally. Some people will take that on so much that they have to make a point to not watch somebody.
Right.
Yeah. I did a show where it was like a comedy covers thing, and I played Mitch Hedberg.
Uh-huh.
And it was so hard to shake it for a week. Like,
that's
his
crazy.
His inflection is yeah. so, like, particular that it became part of my act, and I was like, oh, I gotta shake it, and I will never do that again.
that's like when I watch like Mark Norman, right? Like, he has a very specific way of speaking, and yeah. like, because I guess, like, you know, like, with my acting background, everything, like, and it was so easy, like, mimicking somebody.
Yeah.
And, like, so if I would, like, let's say, like, I listen to, like, an hour of his stand-up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I go and I do, like, a mic, or I do a show, like, 20 minutes later, maybe I'll say, like, a word, like, in the same, like, inflection of his voice, and it's right. like, ooh, fuck, like, I shouldn't do that, like,
yeah.
But I think certain things rub off.
Yeah, they say that when you start, I've heard this, that it's okay to do that, like, you start up kind of doing your impersonation of someone until you find your own voice.
Well, yeah, I mean, you need to find your own voice.
Mm-hmm. How are you along with that path? Do you feel like...
I feel like it took me... I mean, I haven't been doing stand-up that long, but it definitely took me, like, close to a year to find my voice.
Mm-hmm.
But now, like, I know who I am on stage.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause before, I feel like I had, like, such high energy, and then I was, like, so low for a while, and then, like, people were like, oh, like, that's so, like, not you.
Not you.
When I had, like, such low energy on stage,
yeah,
it went for, like, a couple months, and they were like, because I was just, like, very, like, relaxed.
Yeah.
They were like, that's not how you are.
In person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I kind of thought about that, and I was like, that really isn't. And, like, I do get up on stage, and I feel like a part of that, like, that's me. Like, I'm not putting on a character.
Right. Yeah, that's what I love about stand-up. It's like a journey into yourself kind
of
thing.
Oh, yeah. Like, you discover so much. Like, when I first was doing it, like, my early jokes, I felt like I wrote a bunch of, like, they were, like, a lot of sexual jokes, right? Mm-hmm. There were a lot of those. And I feel like because that was a different part of my life where I talked about, like, I was always dating somebody new.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, it was a lot. And, like, now, I'm like, I can never imagine doing those jokes.
Right.
Just because it doesn't tie into my life. No. Yeah. And I also thought that's how I was. But then I looked like at my, like, I would do, like, a joke and say, like, oh, I'm slutty. Blah, 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 blah. But, mm-hmm. like, I wasn't fucking a new guy every night. And then I saw some of my friends and I was like, no, you're slutty.
Right.
Like, you're great, but you're slutty. I'm not.
So are you saying that it wasn't honest to who you were? Who you really were?
I think that I thought it was in my head. Like, mm-hmm. I had a different perception of myself. Because, like, I was serial dating. And to me, I was like, that's kind of slutty. But I wasn't doing anything with these guys.
Yeah.
But, like, I was like, I don't want people to think that I'm like that either.
Right. Yeah, and you don't want to be dishonest on stage.
Right. Oh, totally not. Like, I mean, you've heard my set. I derive so many of, like, my longer jokes and, like, the stories from, like, real life stories
yeah.
that happen. Like, I write them down.
Mm-hmm.
The second they happen.
What would you say is the most
people? But
what would you say is the most personal thing that you talk about on stage? Or is there? I'll give you an out. Or is there something really personal that you want to talk about on stage, but you haven't been able to make it funny yet?
Well, so I'm kind of in the middle of both of those. Okay. So I do a joke about my dad,
mm-hmm.
And how I want a new dad because my dad's dead.
Yeah,
and like at first I was like, I'm never going to talk about my dad on stage. I can't even imagine that.
Right.
And then I was like, wait a sec. Like, no, I have to. Like, this is my life. Mm-hmm. And like, I have to tie it in somehow. So I do the joke and like, I'm trying to really find it, because the second people hear like, oh, like, I don't have a dad anymore, like, no matter how I say it, I get the like, aw.
Right.
And it's like, no. Let me tell the joke. Like,
yeah.
It's a difficult thing. So I feel like that's the most personal thing I talk about / what I'm trying to make funny.
Yeah. I have a bit somewhat personal too. And if I start it a certain way and they get emotional about it,
yeah,
the whole joke is ruined.
Yeah. It's really tough.
Yeah. It's a tricky thing to kind of phrase it in a way where you're like, no, it's not an emotion. This is comedy.
Yeah.
We're
it's past- like, I'm still here. You can relax. Everything's okay. Like, I mean, I talk about so much on stage. I talk about, like, what, the time I was roofied and stuff like that. Or, like...
I want to hear that story. But just to finish this thought, that's why they say, like, tragedy plus time equals comedy. So, like, the audience can sense if you're still emotional about it. And maybe there's not enough time. But I also feel like once you're able to make it a joke without the emotion, that kind of shows mental health.
Yeah.
And that's kind of one of the things I'm striving for, to make it good for me. Like, of course, I consider myself an entertainer. Like, first, bottom line, I want to entertain the audience. But I also feel like it's kind of like self-care.
Oh, yeah. I mean, definitely. But you also don't want to get up there and you're so upset and you don't want to really talk about this, but you're forcing yourself to. Like, that doesn't entertain them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to have like a bit of a confidence about it. And I think it's also the way you phrase the joke too.
Yeah.
Whatever that sensitive subject is about.
Your point of view with it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is amazing. I kind of want to listen to that Tig Notaro special where she just got diagnosed for cancer and mm-hmm. she went on stage and kind of improvised the whole set. I listened to it a while ago, but I want to listen to it again and see. Because that's kind of a difficult feat to pull off.
Definitely. I mean,
if it's funny. Maybe it's not funny. I don't remember.
I mean, it's like, you just don't want them to like feel bad for you and pity laugh. Like, I never want a fucking pity laugh.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah. That's what bringer shows are for.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
So, you got roofied? Really roofied?
I like really roofied.
Oh, my God. No wonder you brought your own water bottle.
I'm very cautious. I'm That's very smart. Cautious. It was a few months ago. I was down in Florida for not only Thanksgiving, but I was doing like 10 shows down there.
Cool.
So I stayed down there for like 10 days and then I flew back up. And I talk about this, like I have a whole joke about it, but I was telling my friend, I was like, let's go out tonight, like blah, blah, blah. So we went out to this party. It was a holiday party for like a real estate firm, whatever. And then I was doing a show right after. So we could only stay for like an hour and a half. So we go, I have 1.5 Cosmopolitans.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody puts GHB in it. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I black out. Don't remember anything. Apparently I showed up to the club to do my set.
Whoa.
They didn't let me up because I couldn't, like, they had to physically pull me out of the Uber.
Wow.
And then I fell on the table and it was like terrible. But like, no, everyone's like, is she drugged? Is she drugged? My friend's like, I don't know. Like, I think she's just really drunk.
Right.
And I was like when I heard everything and I was like, no, like nobody who's drunk, like you got on with me a million times. You should have taken me to a hospital, like, which I was pretty pissed about. But when I was told like the events that happened was like, they told me, they were like, okay, like you have to go home. Like you can't get up to perform. They put me back into a car, got me home. I woke up the next morning, I was naked in my bed. My room is a mess, disgusting. And like, I can't remember anything. I feel like I'm out of my body. Like, I just didn't know what was wrong with me and I'm puking. And like, my whole living room is destroyed. My bathroom, I mean, it was just terrible. And I was like, okay, like I can't remember this. And I'm getting all these texts from people who were at the comedy club the night before. And they're like, oh my God, are you okay? What happened? Like, what was that? So I wind up, I go to the hospital and I'm in the emergency room until like 9 p.m. that night.
Mm-hmm.
And they just did like all the tests on me and everything. Thank God, like I wasn't assaulted. Nothing happened.
They tested for all
that. They tested everything. It was nice. But no, nothing. Like, thank God I was around people that I could trust that night.
So but you don't yeah. know. You,
I don't know who did it. And I was so upset. I'm still upset about it.
It's kind of like traumatic.
Oh yeah. I mean, like for that whole week, like I could barely eat. Mm-hmm. I was throwing up the whole week. Like my memory wasn't there. Like I could barely do stand up because like I'd have to bring my notes on stage.
Wait, or, like, it affected phone. Your memory.
It does.
That.
So it affects you for like a week. And mm-hmm. they say that, like, even because GHB, it's just a little like an eyedropper, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's like, it's odorless, it's tasteless, like mm-hmm. anything like that. But like more than like a drop or two, whatever. Also, depending on the bond, like I'm under 100 pounds. Like,
right.
if they wanted to knock me out, like they did the job.
Right.
But apparently it can cause a heart attack.
Yikes.
So I was talking to another comedian and they were like, I saw you the other night, like blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, dude, I got roofied. They're like, oh my God, like a real roofie. And I was like, well, GHB, like it's just the term, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, oh, I take GHB sometimes.
I do it for fun.
I was like, oh my God, like, of course you would.
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah. And they were like, you got to be really careful. Cause like, they were like, if you do a couple more drops than your body can take, you go into an instant heart attack or death. And I was like, nice.
Well, good thing you, sounds like you're in between the line of like just having fun on GHB and like being totally dead.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what it's for. Like it's to roofie people.
Really? That's.
It was at LeBain.
I don't, what is that?
At the Standard, so nobody go.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Well, a real estate convention at the Standard kind of sounds like where you would get roofied.
Yeah, right? Of all the places, I was like, all I wanted was a Cosmopolitan, some sushi.
Mm-hmm. I had a night where I think something like that happened to me also. It was where I was on tour, and the last thing I remember is this guy was putting us up, and we ate mac and cheese. Like, he made mac and cheese.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't remember anything. Whoa. Except waking up the next morning in a sleeping bag. And it's really weird. Like, I still... And, like, we all woke up like, what happened last night? And we were joking around like, is your asshole loose? What's going on? Like, but it's really weird.
You don't know what to do in that situation.
Yeah.
Like, you really don't.
Yeah,
that's so scary, though. Did you talk to that guy ever again? You get his recipe?
I should get his recipe. Mm. I actually saw him again, and I was trying to kind of gauge it to
right.
see if he looked or acted guilty.
Yeah. Did he?
He didn't. But
psychopath.
Yeah, exactly. You know, look at sociopaths, whatever.
Yeah.
They can do that. But yeah, that's a weird thing because you just have no memory at all.
Yeah. I mean, I don't remember. And people are like, well, is there a little chunk? I'm like, you know, it's not like a regular blackout where you're like, oh my God, we went to get pizza last night. We went to get pizza.
Right. Like, not like an alcohol blackout.
No.
Yeah.
No, no, no. Like, this is like full on. Like, I have no idea what I did. Like, I could have sucked a homeless dude's dick and I don't know. You know what I mean?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Good thing you went and got some tests.
Yeah.
Did you go back after 3 months to make sure that there's
nothing
lingering?
I don't have
lingering?
STDs. I'm clean.
Good thing we got that recorded.
Yes.
So, the path to being a good stand-up, what does that mean to you?
I think it's just getting up as much as you can,
mm-hmm.
working on your jokes. Like, I tend to write every day.
Mm-hmm.
How
do you write? Like, what, do you have any tools? Cause
no, I really don't. I just, like, I mean, it could come at any point. Like,
mm-hmm.
I hate forcing it out.
Mm-hmm.
I hate, because I feel like I just can't get it.
Mm-hmm.
But I have three notebooks on me almost at all times. And I have my phone.
Why
and
I'm three? Always just because they're all scattered?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Like one is like a really small one, right? Where I just like all write like little jokes or like little premises.
Yeah.
And then like I have a bigger one where I write the full joke out. And then I have another one just for like random stuff.
So this is your system.
I guess that's my system. I wouldn't even really call it a system.
It's a system of chaos. It's just
there's something.
Yeah.
But I'll just, I get a lot of my jokes like from conversations, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'll just instantly write them down.
Yeah.
And it does annoy my friends, I think, like once in a while.
Why? Because in the middle of a conversation, you'll start
yeah.
to write?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I know it's kind of rude, but I'm like, this is good. Like,
yeah.
keep going.
But you know, you have to, because you ever have a thought and you want to write it down and you don't, and then you're repeating
yeah, then
it
you
in your head.
It.
And you forget it. And then you're like, I feel like it's denied terrible. Myself.
Like there was something I thought of that was really funny when I had the flu like a month and a half ago. Mm-hmm. And I'm still kicking myself because I can't remember what it was, but it cracked me up and then I fell asleep.
Yeah. I try to train myself now to just always write it down.
You got to. Even if it's like a little, like I do this, I don't know if you do this when you're walking.
Mm-hmm.
I'll like put my headphones in and I'll start talking into my recording.
Nice. Just improvising?
Oh, yeah. I'm like, I'm writing it out or like, I guess, or I'm talking it out.
Yeah.
But I'm like, this just happened and blah, 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 blah. And like write about it later and then I'll save it. And I'll put a like reminder on my phone
mm-hmm.
and I go back to it.
You do go because that's the hard part.
I do go back to it like every night or after Mike or after a show, whatever I do, I instantly listen to it back.
You instantly listen to your set?
Yeah.
Wow. That's good.
And I go over it whenever I tape it. Like in the beginning for the first like 6 months, every single set I did, mm-hmm. I taped mic yeah. and show. Like I physically taped it so I could watch myself on stage.
Wow.
And then I would like watch it back and I would look in the mirror and like certain things I didn't like that I would do, I'd stop.
Mm-hmm.
If I did like something, like I'd continue it.
Mm-hmm.
A little like different crowd work techniques or like looks on my face.
That kind of awareness is really yeah. good. It doesn't make you self-conscious where it inhibits you.
No, I think it helps me.
That's good.
Yeah.
I know a lot of comics that record every set, but they just can't bring themselves to listen because it makes them cringe.
I guess, like, I used to be like that when I was younger. Like, yeah. if I would, you know, like, I would always be directing something, right? Like, I would get my friends to put on, like, little shows. I'd write something. I'd mm-hmm. have them go over, and then I'd get, like, really angry that they weren't doing it right. like, my friend recently, she's not really my friend anymore. Like, we were friends growing up, you know, mm-hmm. but she sent me something. I haven't seen her in, like, years, and she was like, I found this from when we were like 7 and you're directing all of us, and she was like, it's so funny, and like mid video you just see me go in the corner and I was like, oh my god, they're so stupid, they're not doing this right. And they were like, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm artistic, you don't understand. And I was like, then
you're like flipping your scarf
seven.
Flipping your scarf, yelling at everyone.
I had one of those like Hannah Montana, like fully bejeweled scarves.
Director scarves.
Oh my god.
You're
the
throwing
thin
your chair.
One.
So are you going on auditions as well?
I try to. I haven't been on audition in like a while. I don't even remember. I'm embarrassed to say,
mm-hmm.
but it's been a while. Mm-hmm. And like I always apply, like I'm on Backstage and all of those. I don't have an agent or manager. I feel like that's totally hurting me.
Mm-hmm.
But for right now, I'm just like, okay, if I can't do that, like, I just need to focus on stand-up. Like, I'm in this place in my life where if I'm not doing something else, like, I can't dwell on it because I have so much more going on. Like, if I can't get an audition,
yeah.
I'm not going to freak out and be like, why didn't they call me back? Like, why didn't they answer, like, my, like, casting, like, you know, answer? Like,
you don't obsess over it?
No.
That's great.
Which is good because I used to like freak out.
Especially living in a place like New York where you can easily obsess over someone else's success or opportunities.
I think that's just so stupid. That's just the worst. And you mm-hmm. experience that a lot in stand-up.
Which I really don't understand. I'm so glad I don't have that envy. I don't have the envy gene. I really don't. The only time I get envious is if someone is a total jerk.
Oh, yeah. And or if they're
or
not
terrible.
Good.
Yeah. Or if they're bad.
Like, there are a couple people I know and they got booked for something. I was like, how'd you? And they were like, oh, connect. Like, it was connections. And mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, come on.
Who is that? Just kidding.
I'm not naming names.
Nice. You saw that bait a mile away.
I'm not that much of an asshole. I would never do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, like right now for me, I'm I came up with a pilot that I'm writing.
You're writing a pilot?
Yeah. So my plan is that I want to write this pilot, which I've started already, and then I'll submit it.
Mm-hmm.
Pray to someone it gets picked up.
Pray to what?
Pray to myself.
We never did figure out that God situation.
Because I am God.
We are our own God.
We are our own gods. And I was just like, okay, if it gets picked up, amazing. Mm-hmm. When it gets picked up, I'm one of those. It will, not if.
Self-fulfilling prophecy.
You got it. Listen, you got to put it out into the universe. That's what I believe always.
Mm-hmm.
And then I want to act in it.
Yep.
Clearly write it. Duh.
Maybe put on your director's scarf again.
I would love to. I don't I was just a little fucking twerp, but I would love to. That would be the plan to pull a Lena Dunham.
Yeah, totally.
What she did with girls and tiny furniture. That inspired me so much.
Mm-hmm, I bet. Has your mom seen you do stand up?
Oh yeah.
Has she come to a show?
Oh yeah, she's come to a few shows.
She still lives in Florida though.
Yeah.
Okay.
She still lives in Jewville, yeah.
Yeah. Jewville, Florida?
It's totally Jewville.
Do you want to share a stage with her? That would be pretty cool. I don't think I've ever seen
know. I don't know if I'd like that.
Mm-hmm. Because of the comparisons?
I feel but it's also just it's really frustrating because there have been a couple times, right, where we're talking and I'm talking about a show I did and she was like, well, when I did this, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no.
Right.
I love her. And I had the talk with her. I was like, you can't do that. Just let me have it.
Yeah.
Let me have it.
Do you think that's just her point of entry to connection? Or more of just
no, I don't think that exactly would be.
Yeah.
Like telling my friends while I'm talking or whatever, and she was like, well, when I was doing that, one of those. And I was just oh my God, all right.
Yeah, I think that's why it would be hard to date another comic. You know, just
oh my God. The worst.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, they're the worst.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty good to be able to not have your world. Your walls
I mean here's the thing I feel you're dating somebody, right?
Yeah.
She's not a comic, right?
No,
what does she do?
Musician.
Okay, she's still perfect. In the world. See, that's the thing. She's in the entertainment world.
Mm-hmm.
I think for me personally, I'm gonna wind up with somebody who's either a writer or a director.
Someone creative.
I've thought that since I was younger. I hate actors. I've dated so many actors. They're the worst.
They are, yes.
Oh, they're so bad. And I've gone out with a couple comedians casually and I'm you're almost not any better than the actors.
Different.
So
horrible, probably.
So self-indulged. Just
yeah. It's good. It's good to be with someone that understands the creative process.
Yeah. I've dated people since I started comedy who are outside of comedy and they don't know. They're oh my God, why are you out until 1 a.m?
Right.
And it's dude, this is my life.
That's what you need to be happy.
They don't understand it. So I know for me personally, I need to wind up with somebody in the creative field.
Mm-hmm. So you're looking for a Jewish creative type?
Yeah. I think it's really going to be really hard to find.
Well, you're in New York where Italians are very, very similar to Jews.
So true. I've gone out with a couple Italians.
Mm-hmm.
Went out with one and he was Christian. He is. He's not dead. He is Christian.
Unless you could convert him.
No. Well, actually, no. I didn't think it was a problem. I was we're having fun. Whatever. He was a fan at a show I picked up.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Picking up your groupies. Huh?
I did. I picked up some groupies, and I was let's go back to Brooklyn.
Nice.
and whenever we had a little fling last summer, and then. He went to Bible camp and all that stuff.
Oh.
We were so, so different. He was just really my only thing. I went to end it because he was really fucking stupid.
Unintelligent?
Oh, beyond.
Or damaged from Bible camp.
No. Well, I mean, there were a couple things. He was well, I used to do anal instead because I thought that was okay with God. And I was oh, you're one of those. They're all.
That's the loophole to preserve your virginity.
Yeah. Oh,
it's
yeah.
So bizarre.
But, which is outrageous.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that's where poop comes out of. It's not pure.
And it's
what
also
are you doing?
You're finding a loophole that God won't notice.
Yeah, what, God can't see the asshole? What are you doing?
It makes no sense.
awful. But yeah, we went out for a little bit, and like I like went to end it, but he went to Florida to visit his parents who moved down there. They were like living in Connecticut before, like super waspy too. And then he got back and he like didn't, like I spoke to him a couple times when he was there, didn't talk to me like when he got back, and I was like, oh, like this is kind of perfect, because I don't like ending things, like I don't like saying like I'm so sorry but like there's nothing here. Well, what's like the, I hate that.
What's the pro? Everyone has different, like I don't, when I was dating I kind of liked being ghosted after a while. Like I'd rather just be ghosted than have to read a text being like, I'm really not into it.
Well, there's like a 50-50 with that. I will go into that, but the end of that was basically he got back to New York and then all of a sudden like reactivated his Facebook, and he wound up leaving New York and going to this place called the River Bible Institute.
Oh boy.
Which is a cult. It's like a Jesus cult.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Where like the Holy Spirit takes you over.
Oh boy.
And like I looked it up and like like the video's insane. Like you have to see this. There's like a 2-minute YouTube video. So he put this whole status about like how like he went through something. Jew. Yeah. And he needs to get cleansed back into Christianity after this. Like right after me.
Right.
And right after the like, you know, he went to like the Bible parents, like so now he's like in this fucking cult.
Well, if he grew up in Bible, what'd you say, Bible camp or whatever it was,
he went to Bible summer camps and like all those, oh yeah, like church every week.
He sounds like, yeah, that sounds like a possible
and
disaster.
I said it to him in the beginning, I was like, is there a problem with me like being like, do you care? And like nobody's gonna be like, yeah, I love the Nazis, but like he was like, he's like, no, like, I don't mind it. Like, well, like, I love it. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, more of an Italian that's, like, into food and stuff. Not so much of the God
stuff. Not the Jesus stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Not the Jesus stuff.
Are you dating now?
I'm not dating.
Are you on break? Are you seeing somebody?
I don't even know what the fuck I'm doing. I'm really just trying to focus on my career. And that's code for I can't get a date. No. I am trying to focus on my career. Like I'm always like on and off seeing somebody. I feel like there's always in New York, like I feel like there's always somebody on the back burner, right?
Always.
You're always like if I wanted to, I know who to text at like midnight to be like, so what are you doing? And they're like, nothing. Yep. I'm jacking off. And I'm like, stop, let me do it for you.
Yeah. For listeners that don't live in New York City, it's very it's, you would think it's great that there's so many people, but when I was dating, I know that I'm on a date with a girl and I know there's 4 other guys on her phone right that she is also seeing.
Oh yeah, I mean, my ex-boyfriend,
there's too many people.
The day we broke up, the hour we broke up, I went to my other ex-boyfriend's house. I was like, fuck this.
Yeah,
fuck that. There's always some, because they didn't know.
I call it the candy bar effect. Candy counter effect.
Candy counter effect?
Yeah, where like, you know, you go to a candy counter and if there's way too many choices, you're just there for 20 minutes trying to find the best choice. And then you, whatever you choose, you're like, I don't know. Was this the best choice? I don't know. I guess it's okay.
And then you circle back to the other thing. I mean, there's so much. Like, I recently got ghosted by this guy. Like, I thought we hit it off and everything. It was great. And then he used my Seamless account, and then he ghosted me.
He ordered like, food with your card?
I was like, can you just, like, pay me back for the meatball sub, and then you never have to talk to me again? Like, just, like, do that for me.
That's pretty awesome.
So he's a dick. But, yeah, no, I'm not dating. I'm, like, I'm really trying to, like, work on my stand-up and, like, this pilot right now. Yeah. And, like, if somebody comes into my life, like, that's totally fine. But I also, I don't want to make them number one priority,
because
I know like my ex-boyfriend last year, like it was just too much. Like he'd show up to the mics.
Ooh.
So other guys wouldn't talk to me.
Oh no.
Oh yeah. And then he wound up, never cheated on him, and he would like show up all these places. Like one time I was at the Comedy Cellar and he came there.
Why?
And it was so bad because I didn't show up to the apartment on time. Which was, like, fucking nuts. And he, like, came in there and he was drunk and he was, like, he's, like, it's so late. Like, blah, 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 blah. And I was, like, oh, my God. And I'm, like, sitting with a bunch of comedians and I was mortified. And I was, like, okay, this can never happen again in my life.
No, you especially
and being... then he wound up cheating on me the entire time.
Well, see, that's the thing.
Which is nuts.
No, but that's usually the thing. It's the people that are really, like, suspectful of you cheating.
Oh, yeah, they're always the cheaters.
Those are the cheaters.
Those are the pieces of shit. Mm-hmm. When they're like, I know what you're doing. And I'm like, I'm literally not. I'm telling dick jokes. Like, what am I doing?
Yeah, why is that thought echoing in your mind so much? Because you think about it so much.
And then I was like trying to figure it out too, because we were basically living together, and I would just leave to go to like school, and I would leave to go to like sets, and then I'd come back like an hour later, and I was trying to figure it out after. I'm like, how'd you get a girl in an hour? Like, I mean, it was a great looking guy, like very nice. He was, because he is dead in my mind.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was just like, what the fuck.
Yeah, New York City is very unique that way. I think it's more harmful than good. Like, it'd be kind of nice to just date in a small town where you had choice of three people.
Yeah, because if you're like, I'm dating Brad, they're like, which Brad, down the block or up the block? And they're like, both. Like,
it's a nightmare.
But especially with all the apps now. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't end.
Endless choices of people.
Yeah.
Are you doing the... J swipe, is that what it's called?
I was on J swipe for a little bit, but I don't mess with it because the guy who made J swipe like literally harassed me for the longest time.
The guy that created J swipe
is still single. Mind you.
Well, he's grabbing all the best looking girls off the app probably. He's
well,
like,
he tries. No, we met because we were running something for Birthright. Because I got super involved after.
Uh-huh.
So, like, he, you know, he partnered up with them, and we both, like, went to go do, like, a speech. And then he started sending me, like, these, like, Instagram, like, DMs that night. Wow. And I was on J-Swipe before, and then I was like, oh, my God, he has access to everything. Right. So, if I wouldn't answer, and he was like, oh, so you're swiping. And I'm like, oh, my God.
He said that to you? Oh, he's
He also said to me, because I was wearing a choker, like, the necklace.
Yeah.
And then he was like, I'd love to choke you against a wall, like that night in the DMs. And I was like, what the I barely had a conversation with him. I thought he was gay.
That's pretty forward.
He was wearing a fedora. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I was just like this.
Well, maybe he is, and he just doesn't know it or can't face it.
You never know.
That's kind of my problem with religion.
There's a bunch like that.
Yeah.
A bunch. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's this guy, I don't know if you saw this, it was in like the circulating, like, you know, the Daily News or whatever a month ago, where he was married to his wife for 12 years,
mm-hmm.
and he was against gay people. You know, they ran all the rallies, right. did everything,
yep.
and of course he was sucking dick on the side.
Of course.
And then he came out and he was like, but I'm still going to live with my wife because that's what God intended. And then like a couple years later, like, so now he was like, I'm getting a divorce because God thinks it's okay for me to be gay now. I was like, oh yeah, God's cool now. Like, he's just like, hey buddy, you want to go suck a cock with me? Like,
it's a nightmare.
They stay in these relationships sometimes just because, mm-hmm. you know, they're trained, I guess.
Yeah. Or maybe it works for them. You know, that's kind of
sure.
One of the things I love about relationships, who knows what they're
like, they must like, I don't know if they hate themselves or what, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, well, they project. I think Mike Pence is so gay, right?
Oh, my gaydar goes up.
Oh my God, screaming.
Mm-hmm.
But like, he's so against gay people, like so against it, mm-hmm. where you're just like, come on, dude, like come out of the closet.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's pretty obvious. It happens over and over and over again.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so many people from Congress even, or like running just in office in general, have dropped or have like left because they were running, you know, anti-gay campaigns, and they mm-hmm. wound up being gay.
Yeah, it's an interesting time now with everyone having a camera on them.
Oh, yeah. There's no hiding.
It's really hard to hide this very transparent future we're headed towards.
Yep. Oh, yeah. I mean, everything you do, even if you don't know it, like, it could get recorded,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty scary, but at the same
time...
This
conversation is being recorded.
I know. This could get used against me by Mike Pence at some point. He could want to electrocute me just for fun. I think he hates Jews, too. Hey, Mike, if you're listening, I think you hate us.
I'm sure he's hurt.
I'm sure his little dick is crying.
Definitely.
Calls his wife mother. You know, how much creepier can you get?
It's pretty creepy.
Like, that's bad.
Not being able to be alone with another woman. You know, he won't, that's his rule.
Yeah.
Self-imposed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's because he doesn't want to be around women.
Yeah, it seems strange. It's like he can't control himself, or he doesn't want to have any thoughts.
He's like, ew, cooties.
He only wants to be around men.
He only wants men.
Yeah.
In and around his mouth.
So what's next for you? Shows?
Shows for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Writing this thing.
We can't end it on Mike Pence.
Never. Oh, my God. Then he wins. I don't know what he wins, but he wins.
You think the pilot that you're writing is going to be finished soon?
I'm hoping that within the next, 2 months or so. Hopefully by the time I'm 22, but I don't know. Let's see.
Cool.
I need to work on it.
Yeah. Well, you're really young and you got a great start. Your set is solid, what I saw.
Thank you.
I see a bright future.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, thanks for
having me on.
Thanks for doing it.
Yeah, this is so fun.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.